Amen. If you're just now joining us, welcome. We're glad that you're here with us today as we are learning what it is to be the people of God. We just finished a series on the holiness of God. It was a lead-up to Easter and to our Holy Week, and Holy Week was just a beautiful time for us, followed up by a beautiful time in our Easter service. And in learning about the holiness of God, we see that we are called out to be holy ones as well. But what does it mean to be a holy one? How do you live that out? What should be our day-to-day? At the end of Easter, as we looked at the resurrection, we were saying the same thing again. Sunday, resurrection, is awesome and changes the world. But what does Monday look like? How will we live out Monday? This has been a big week. On Friday, I got to, with many of you, watch the Artemis II splash down. And if you were watching the coverage, they then panned away, and they, as they were trying to get them all arranged, they talked to the administrator, NASA administrator, about all that's going on and how excited they were. So I know some of you are kind of geeky people too. You're like, this is so awesome. And so he was obviously geeked out about all of all this, what this means for us to go back to the moon again after such a long time. And that they were preparing for Artemis 3 already, and that was coming soon. They were in meetings immediately as to the next trip. And I don't know if you know this, but the goal is not just to land on the moon, but to build a base there. A base, right? And then they're going to shoot somebody to Mars. Not me. I've seen the movie. And I know about you, but I'm looking forward to the moon movie. It's not, somebody ought to be writing that. I know it's coming out. Because you can just imagine what it is to, like, be planted in that place and try to figure out all the dangers and concerns and the troubles that are there, and to be doing it with the international folks. That's what the administrator said, like, from now on, it's going to be us internationally doing all these things together. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in that place? And I think so much of that reflects on where they were in the first century, where Jesus has resurrected, the Messiah has come, and he has done his thing, and everything has changed. Now he has ascended, the Holy Spirit has fallen and lives within the people of God, and he is doing these amazing things, and the world is changing. And so on Monday, what do you do? What does it mean to be the people of God in a strange place, to be a strange people? How would we live our lives? We're like men and women on the moon. What does this look like? And so this letter, we're going through the book of Philippians together. This letter is meant for a group of believers who feel like they're men and women on the moon. How do you live in this place? How do you live as the people of God, as the holy ones? And even as Jake was praying here, you begin to ask these questions like, well, why is life so hard? Why am I not seeing the transformation that I think is necessary? Philippians is asking those questions. It is answering those questions. Who is Jesus Christ to us? How should we then relate to him? What does it mean to be in Christ? How do we actually change? What does a healthy church look like? It's a new thing. And it was new to the first century, and it continues to be new to us today. We just had a great time in our new members class. We have jewels of people who are joining us, and we just had another group of jewels that came right before that. It just keeps coming. And as we were talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones, we were saying how as a people of God, it's as if in our old way we were walking a certain direction, and then God calls our name directly, says our name, and calls us out from this way that we were going, and we go, what? and we repent from that, and we walk over here. Well, what's going on over here? And what is this new life together? And so now we have this big stage so I can really walk places. I'm really so excited. And we come over here, and we're with Jesus, and we're like looking at him and going, what's going on? And you're like, what does this mean? And so it was new for the first church, but it's new for you and me too, right? I mean, we're just learning this way as well. And so the book of Philippians is this book in which Paul is writing to these folks in a similar situation as we are in right now, and is calling them into a new kind of life, a new way, and they're learning it. And what's so special about this is that it is talking to, he is including in this story himself, he's including Jesus in the story as he tells them what they're to be and how they're to be. So he says, first of all, he's going to say, I'm just kind of previewing, he's saying, here is Jesus, this is what he is, who he is, what he does, this is the way to live your life, this is what he is, this amazing man who is 100% man, 100% God, this is him, look at him, follow him. And then he's also saying, and here I am, Paul, and let me tell you what it feels like to be someone like you and me and for us to now follow after him. This is what it looks like in my life. And he doesn't stop there. Then he says, oh, and also, let me include in this story Timothy. And Timothy's not so high as Paul, but he's kind of down here. And he's not going to just include Timothy. He's also going to say Epaphroditus. I want to tell you a little about Epaphroditus, how this has affected him and how he looks. And then he's going to go even to a lower level, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Well, he's going to talk about those within the church, especially the elders, the overseers, and the deacons. And so we're going to have a kind of masterclass on what it means to be a disciple of the resurrected Savior. We're going to learn with this odd little phrase, in Christ, what it means, and when it's fully bloomed, what does it look like in our lives? We're going to find out how we work together as one body in Christ. So let's start. We're only going to hit on the first two verses today. And the letter is written to an actual group of people who really lived. So, you know, the Bible, it isn't like literature that is not grounded in history and people. Like, these are the people who, this church that is in a place called Philippi, this Roman province that has a lot of retired military guys that live there. Like, this is a real place, like a real character. It's written to this area. It's kind of like, you know, the metropolitan area of Brenham. Yeah, the metropolitan. You know, with all the various boroughs of Belleville and Chapel Hill and Burton and Cat Spring and, you know, this far-flung. We're not even the county seat for some of those. Yeah, Hempstead. How far do we go? Hempstead, Waller, like just this area, this group here. And so it's written to like real people, like you and me. And he calls them to the church in Philippi, to the saints in Christ Jesus, to all of the saints. And as you look around your household, do you see any saints in your household? And actually, you do. Yeah. I don't think probably any in your house are performing any miracles. Maybe at Trevor's house, but I don't know. But some miracles going on, I don't know. But it's not that kind of saint. But it's the saint, the word saint is actually agios in Greek. And agios is a holy one, one who is holy. It is the thing that we've been talking about for the last 8-10 weeks, that God has called us out to be holy as he is holy, and so now we take the name and the posture of God and that we are to be holy. And this holy is not just morally better. It is, we are called out to be set apart, to be unique, to be the ones who are walking this way. Now we're called out to be this way. So how do we live this way as a people who are set apart, who are different? We are not necessarily a morally impressive bunch. We fail. We stumble. We aren't even a necessarily spiritually advanced than other people. But we are set apart by God, for God. He did that for us. Amen. That's good news. It isn't up to you. He's done it for us. And so now we're learning what it means to be in Christ, to be placed in Christ. It's kind of a gobbledygook kind of thing until you spend some time reading the book of Philippians and understanding more of what it means to be in Christ. And this will be our focus. Your life is no longer defined by what you have done. You can take a deep breath and receive that. Your life is no longer defined by what you have done, but where you are and who you are in Christ. That's who you are now. This last week, if you weren't with us, by the way, we are learning what it is to be the church, and we are a building, we are in formation, we are not arrived. And so we spent all this money just to make this metaphor true today. that's a very expensive sermon prop, by the way. But we are this, though, aren't we, church? Like, we are being built up. And you come back next week, we'll be a little more built up. And as we are being built up, we had this baptism last Sunday, and so we have some folks who are the new members class, and we joked that, like, they're still drying off. They're still drying off. Amen. Like, and it's been such a joy for us to recount, for them to celebrate their baptisms and their children's baptism. It's such a precious thing. And it is these first steps of faith now that they are taking, learning what it means to have the Holy Spirit live within you, the kind of person you are to be after the resurrection. And so he says now that this letter is for the people of Philippi, for the saints who are in Christ Jesus. And it is written by Paul and Timothy, servants of God. Servants of God. Now, if you've been around church more, you hear the name Paul and Timothy, and you think, these aren't just servants of God. These are apostles. Paul is the man on the scene. They are well known. In fact, you know, we have the book of Timothy and 1st and 2nd Timothy, and there's actually probably a 3rd and 4th Timothy. There's other Timothys, and they are written from Paul to Timothy to instruct the church. These are well-known guys. But when Paul and Timothy are writing this letter together, they are writing it as servants of God, not to expose their apostolic authority that they have. They have it. They could demand these things, but they are writing as servants. And this echoes throughout the rest of the book. This is the underlying truth for the people of God, that we are to be servants of God, to be intentionally a humble people. We see this in an echo forward in the picture of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, and then in Timothy We see Timothy the same thing in chapter 2, and then we meet Epaphroditus in chapter 2, and we see these examples of this kind of service and humility. But then it says, this is not just written to, not just written by Paul and Timothy to the agios, the holy ones, the set apart ones. He says, including the overseers and deacons. Overseers and deacons. Now, that's one thing we don't talk about too much in the life of our church, is church polity, how the church is organized. And so we are coming to these verses, and we need to talk about it for a minute. The church is organized in a certain kind of way, and for a very particular purpose. So once the church was formed, who did they have in place in leadership in Judaism? Well, you had priests and scribes, and then you had some kind of religious orders, kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They have some kind of reigning authority and power. What is the new church, the agios, the ecclesia? What's the way of that church? How are they organized? What's the way they were going to be? It's kind of like the formation of the United States. How will we constitute ourselves? Who will be in charge, and what will be their responsibilities? What powers will they have, and what powers should be limited? And so he says, I'm writing this letter to the church, including the overseers and deacons. It's a little bit odd, and it's not seen in many other kinds of writings like this, a greeting kind of like this. I'm speaking to the church. I also want to point out real quickly, in case you haven't forgotten, there are overseers. Now, this word overseer is a word that's used interchangeably between the overseer is also an elder. Other places called the elder. Other areas called the pastor. And all those things are describing the role that that place in the church has. So the elder is to be someone who is wise, who is a bishop, an overseer. That means they are overseeing all of this. And then also they are to be shepherds. They are, once again, overseeing it in a kind of caring way. And then you have these deacons. And this word deacon fits into the theme of Philippians. It is a servant. The deacons were those who clean tables. And so if you are in Rome, if you are one of these Roman colonies, like in Philippi, and you are hearing, and you don't have any connection with Judaism, you're hearing, you never met Jesus, and you're hearing, you are to be a waitress or waiter, not even that, you're to be the busboy. You kind of go, okay, well, hold on. I'm going to be the busboy for Jesus. What? Like, that is a recognized office in the church. Busboy or birth girl. I don't know how to say it properly, but do you see? These groups are recognized, and they are recognized for a purpose. The overseer, elder, is a shepherd, a teacher, a guardian of doctrine and the direction of the church. The elders have a responsibility to help keep the church staying on the right path, to apply the word of God to the life of the people of God. And so what do they do? Well, I'm going to tell you, you have elders among you. We have men in the church who have been recognized for this role and have been prayed over and blessed and are functioning as elders in the church. It's one of the two offices in the church. And so the elders are regularly meeting and praying and coming up here at 7 o'clock in the morning and talking about the matters of the church and making sure that we are staying doctrinally pure and also caring for the finances of the church and all these things. They are also being hospitable. If you don't know our elders, like, you've probably been in one of the elders' homes. They host community groups. They are regularly having meals with the people in our church or are visiting them or caring for them or making conversations with them so they might hear what's going on in their life, or maybe even had a hard conversation with them. They're caring for our souls. In fact, that's their calling, is to be those who care for our souls, who have a responsibility in which God is going to require an accounting. And the deacons, they're called to be servant leaders. They're meeting our needs in tangible ways. They solve problems that threaten unity. We just met with our deacons a month ago, and we put on the board, here are the upcoming challenges that we're going to have with all of this that's going on as more people come in. How are we going to be prepared for that? And so they are thinking about those things and calling you into action. But more than anything, both of those kinds of people, elders and deacons, they are not here to lord it over you and say, look, I've made it, right? They are to be chief servants. And I want to tell you, we are blessed in our church. We are a blessed church. As churches go, we are so blessed. We have elders and deacons who are serving like this. Now, when you talk about elders, the qualifications for elders, which you would guess, for this kind of job, what would the qualifications be? You would probably say something like this, if I was writing the list. They need to go to seminary. They need, and get a pretty good grade, you know. We'll be checking. It's a big responsibility. They also, I would think, like, they need to have, like, check the box on how many times they have a quiet time a week. Like, that would be important, right? You know, that is not in any of the qualifications for an elder that are found in a couple of places, in Titus and in Timothy. Those are not the qualifications. The qualifications are things like this. They can't be known for being violent. They can't be known for all these terrible things. They can't be known for being a drunkard. They can't be known for being a man who has many ladies around, that they are a person who's loyal. And so what it's saying is the qualifications for an elder is that elder has to have a reputation that is in keeping with the agios, the holy called out ones. They are to be set apart, a different kind of people. Now, they should be able to do these other things to be a good elder, but they have to be able to lead by the example of being set apart people and active in service. The deacons, the same thing. They need to embody service. So on Easter, when there are so many things to be done, who are we looking to serve? Well, we're calling on the elders, and the elders are doing all these things all week long. We're calling upon the deacons to gather people and to do the work as well, and they're calling on you. And so by their example and following in that leadership, as we follow Timothy and Epaphroditus, as they follow Paul, as Paul follows Christ, we have this long order of things where now the people of God are following in the footsteps of Jesus. And so you all killed it. You slayed on Easter and Holy Week. But you do it all the time. You do it all the time. Like, you are serving. You are getting it. Hallelujah. And it's beautiful to see everyone serving in their own ways and caring for our congregation, whether it's by teaching or by whether it's greeting or taking care of the children or whatever it might be. Like, you are serving, and it is a beautiful thing to be the people of God together. So well done. But I want to tell you, it isn't a novel thing. Like, this is what He planned for us to do. This is the way for it. We are to be those who follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that is in the footsteps of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, and then the elders and deacons as they lead as well. This letter is to highlight that. Hey, guys, pay attention. Look at these people. This is how it looks like as we look towards Jesus. Gives you an idea of what this is all about. I am so thankful as a pastor here to see what the Lord is doing among us. We have so We don't have even the problems. Philippi was a good church. We don't have a lot of the problems that they have. There are few factions and troubles within our church. The churches always have people who've got their own idea of where things should go and are going in different directions. We, for the most part, are a very united group of people. You show your faithfulness. You love the elders and you love the deacons, and the deacons love you as well. I just got to talk to one family this week, and I was just recounting. I didn't remember it was so long ago, but 3 or 4 years ago, I was spent. I was worn out. I'd been in Kenya, came back, was doing some fundraising. Some things didn't work out. My truck was broken into, and I was just tired. Like, you know, that being a little tired where you just kind of go, I'm looking at you, but. And for the men, women don't experience this, I don't think, but we're like, ain't nothing happened up here. What are you thinking about? I don't think about anything. I'm just tired. And they came up to me and they said, you know what? You look tired. Are you all right? I said, I'm not all right. So, well, we need to do something about that. Or do the elders know this? Yeah, they know, and they've asked me about it, and they're going, no. We need to get you a sabbatical or something. And they were just like, they just cared for me. And for those who are walking in the doors, this is normal. This is the way we are. Not because we are great people on our own, but in Christ, it's a special place. Every Christian's called into this same pattern. Every elder, every deacon. We are called into the pattern of growing in maturity and serving sacrificially. And the offices of the church are formal expressions of what the whole church is meant to become. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And we say the same. Finally, as we read this, we realize that as we look at Jesus, that all of this comes at a cost. And it costs each of us. And just as it is beautiful in the results and the relationship, along the way, it does wear, and it comes at a cost. It came at a cross for Jesus. But also, we all do this together gladly. We carry each other's burdens. We call others in to our homes, all of us, to be hospitable. All of this is to be done as a concert of servants. We pray, we serve, and we give generously, sacrificially. So, as we close, I want to let you know what you can be looking forward to in the future. We are going to start memorizing, John Sims, we're going to start memorizing some of the book of Philippians together. Woo-hoo! So I'm going to start us off in novice mode, okay? So if you haven't memorized scripture in a while, here we go. So next Sunday, you need to be ready. People are already getting their pens out. Very good. Philippians 1:2. I'm sorry. Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. So easy. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so when one of the elders comes up and reads the scripture next week, he will also close his notes, and he will lead you in this verse together. Elders, be ready. Brad Deloach, be ready. Okay? And then we are going to tackle more of Philippians chapter 2 together, because we want to hide the word of God in our hearts so we may not sin against God. And so we are going to hide the word in our heart, and it's going to be a blessing to you. The book of Philippians is full, chalked full, of these short expressions short scriptures that are so helpful for the soul. So we're going to memorize some of those together. He closes in Philippians 1:2 by saying, "Grace to you, to the church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord has granted us grace. It is the foundation in which we work. As we talked to the new members class, we don't obey in order that we might be accepted. We have been accepted. We have received grace as a gift, not earned. And from that, we are then able to serve. We are able to be the people of God. We are doing it because we realize that we have the grace of God extended to us. We also are recipients of the peace of God. The peace of God that brings about wholeness in us, that brings rest to our soul, that puts us in a right relationship with God. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting with someone at lunch, and this person is not a believer, and in some ways has been very serious to not be a follower after Jesus Christ. For you who have been there before, it is kind of either active or passive rebellion against him. And this person was saying, in all their confused life that's not going so well, said, "You know what? I am looking for peace. That's all." There was like the concession. I'm just trying. I'm looking for peace and I have not found it. And I could say, I have good news for you. There is peace. There is hope for you. And he came for you, and he cares for you. And the fact that you are sitting across from me at this table is him wooing you to himself to say he wants you to have peace. No doubt, you're on the right road. If you tried everything else and you haven't found peace, then you are pretty close. Because Jesus has come to give you peace for your soul and rest. And then for us as the people of God, we oftentimes let peace like slip through our fingers. And so Philippians is for us is to grasp again the peace. And so Paul reminds them, "I'm coming to you with grace, a reminder of what you've received, and peace, and encouraging you to hold on to it. And these words will bring about peace in your life." Sometimes we don't lack peace, believers. We fail to live inside of that peace. So I look forward to being together as the people of God as we go through this and we learn what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be a part of a body serving together, and how you can have grace and peace. This letter by Paul, the Church of Philippi, is not a letter to admire. It is a life to enter into. A life in Christ, a life together, a life of grace and peace.